cleaning the basement in your home up north, you find yourself reading an old letter and it resonates powerfully, stronger than when it was written in 1986. The words were there for a reason, and you should have paid attention in 1986. I was enrolled at J. Ralph Peters Charm School after my mother spotted me with chipped nail polish and chewing with my mouth slightly open. I had finished my shift at a sandwich shop, which left me smelling like pickles and vinegar while almost sweating all of my blue eyeliner off. The news came in the form of a phone message that my folks would split the expenses of charm school at J. Ralph Peters in my hometown of Texas. Charm school in Dallas in the 1980s was alive and well. I left a message for the manager of the sandwich shop, reading that I would not be able to work for 7 weeks because I'm going to charm school. The first day of charm school, we met the large group of what would be the summer class of John Robert Powers 1986, also called class number SS902B. There were a dozen young ladies ranging in age from 14 to 25. There were girls from Tennessee, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Delaware, France, Germany, Canada, Mississippi, Alabama, Illinois, and Indiana. There were plenty of local Texas girls also. Each girl introduced herself and had to say where she was from and why she was attending John Robert Powers. Most girls were planning to model, act, compete in a pageant, or just wanted to marry well. We would eventually be split into teenagers and adults, high school and college and beyond. Our initial meeting meant being given the handbook and told how many prominent celebrities had graduated from JRP. J. Ralph Peters had been around since 1923, and we were to receive some of the same finishing techniques that ladies received back then. We met our charm school teachers, who were Vanessa and Morgan. Morgan was clearly a model, evidenced by her appearance and the way she carried herself. There is no proper lady in the world who does not have some kind of charm school finishing school experience. If y'all are going to be able to interact with the Queen of England and the President of the United States or marry a multimillionaire, you must be a graduate of John Robert Powers. This will allow you to marry well, to be polished enough to be promotable in any situation, to be able to sell anything to anybody, to be able to get yourself out of trouble. Speaking was Vanessa, who was one of the facilitators in her late 40s. Next to her was Morgan, who was a former model of 29 and aspiring to make millions and to marry millions. Morgan added, "And get yourself in trouble," which triggered laughs. Well, Morgan is right, y'all. It's about being compelling, being relevant. Nobody cares about a bland person. At JRP, you will be a part of something like our own society of polished, poised, and prosperous but never pompous women. Make others wonder where you got it from. Every girl will grow up to be a woman, but not every woman will become a lady, a true lady. The biggest compliment you can get is that you are ladylike. When you leave JRP, you will give that impression effortlessly. Whether people tell you to your face, are thinking it, or speaking it of you, they will know that you are a true lady. You may or may not know that ladies 100 years ago could marry a European nobleman and gain a title like a duchess or baroness or lady. This used to ensure a place in society for girls. That's right. They were called the dollar princesses. Today, we can do it one better, y'all. We got JRP. Then her voice got louder in both Morgan and Vanessa, as if a couple of motivational speakers had fists in the air and spoke with passion and emotion. We can do it one better in the big old state of Texas, y'all. We've got JRP. We've got JRP, and you may not understand now, but someday you will, and that someday will be very soon. We were then put into two different rooms, the teenagers like myself in one room and the older girls in the other. We were given our shower caps and told to cover our hair and then told to wash our faces thoroughly. We were taught how to exfoliate our pores, and we were warned never dry our face with a towel. Instead, let it air dry, because no matter how clean a cloth is, it will never be clean enough for your face. After our faces were dry, we were each in celebrity-style makeup chairs and inspecting our faces in mirrors. We had our manuals in front of us and had to determine our face shape with the help of Morgan. "Can I get liposuction in my cheeks?" I asked. "It's just baby fat, and besides, it will keep you from getting wrinkles." Morgan went on to talk about our skin. She mandated that we do not lay out in the sun ever. We were to wear hats, sunglasses, and sunblock for the rest of our lives. "You see, y'all, right now you have the skin you were born with, but if you lay out in the sun and get a suntan, you can never undo the damage. I don't care how much money you end up marrying, there is no amount of money that can really undo sun damage. So do y'all agree and take the oath to take care of your skin? If you don't, then you will earn a ruddy complexion, and that looks low class. You will not be able to run in high-level social circles with a ruddy complexion. Everything about you has to be right." We raised our right hands and stated, "I, name, do solemnly swear to wear sunblock year-round in my makeup or by itself, wear a hat and sunglasses outdoors. I will not rub or tug on my skin under my eyes because this will create bags. I will not go to bed with makeup on, but will scrub and exfoliate my pores nightly. I will change my pillowcase every night so as not to get hair oil in my pores. I promise to keep my face presentable to the world." That felt good, Opal stated. Opal had come from Massachusetts and desired to be a model. Next, we learned how to apply our makeup. When we were finished, we all looked around the room and saw the transformation. Everyone saw the faces around them become more mature, more attractive. Features were played up and turned up louder. It was a more glamorous room of young ladies. Girls who were previously nondescript were now elegant. While we were learning how to apply our makeup, there were other employees of JRP coming around with nail grooming kits and removing nail polish and dirt under our fingernails. "Now you will be taken seriously. It is imperative that you look your best daily. Tomorrow is a quiz. You will have to apply your makeup by yourselves, and if it doesn't have sunblock in it, then you need to put it on under your foundation. There should be no dirt under anyone's fingernails, and if you put on polish, it should be nicely done with no chips. I recommend a demure lacquer. Everything about you has to be right." The line, "Everything about you has to be right," would be repeated enough to be the JRP mantra by the end of our summer session. Next came the lessons in elocution, with a focus on intonation and correct pausing and phrasing. We were to speak evenly with just the correct tone, not too soft, but not too loud. We were to be able to stand, face the group, make eye contact, and speak on a topic. The topics were chosen from a can that held strips of paper. First, Morgan modeled it for us. "So, if y'all are in beauty pageants, you'll need to be able to speak short, sweet, smartly on a topic." We had already had the three P's, which were polished, poised, and prosperous. Now we had the three S's. Morgan handed the can to Samar, who was from Minnesota. Samar mixed the strips of paper and then stuck the can under Morgan's hand. She picked one and gave it to Samar to read the topic. "What steps would you take to eradicate poverty if you were Miss America?" After Samar read it, Morgan confidently, with a slight smile, making eye contact with the whole room, spoke in an even voice, saying, "If we all have a call to action and complete investment in enhancing opportunities for all, improve education, and extend social protection to all, and particularly to those most excluded, then it is crucial to deliver on a central commitment to end poverty and leave no one behind." Morgan smiled wider as she finished. She left our room as we applauded with all the astonishment young girls would have in hearing her quick and concise answer. She returned shortly. "Did you just think of that?" Whitney asked. "When you've been in as many pageants as I have, you'll realize that all the questions are the same and you'll have rapid, effortless answers to each one." Each girl sat with wide-eyed disbelief. "We have a lot of homework to do," Whitney exclaimed. Each girl was given a question to stumble over. No one sounded like Morgan. "Whitney, are the youth of your generation more pressured to perform than the previous generation?" Whitney's eyes grew big, and Morgan shook her head no. "Fake until you make, Miss Whitney. If you don't know the answer, pretend you're in a movie and play a character who knows everything." Whitney stood up and faced the group and rolled her eyes, to which Morgan again quickly shook her head no and reminded her of poise and eye contact. "Well, I've worked at a taco stand and also on my granddad's farm, and I study hard, and so do all my friends." Whitney looked confident, but Morgan shook her head no again. "Okay, I'm going to stop you there. You're being entirely too specific, and you started with well. You want a general answer that is not specific to you. Remember also that the question will not be repeated. Girls, this just reinforces why you need to marry well. You don't want your children working at a taco stand. Come on." "Whitney, back to the question of, are the youth of your generation more pressured to perform than the previous generation?"
Well, I mean, like, people my age work hard too, you know. We are not lazy. I worked at the taco stand because I couldn't afford to go to prom." Morgan and everyone shook their heads. Whitney was reminded of the evening's homework. Everyone needed to return with the ability to think quickly on their feet, stick to the topic, not personalize it, and be succinct. Whitney and several others failed elocution for the day. Y'all, this is more than just preparation for a beauty pageant and all the questions you might have to answer. When you are married to that zillionaire and you're entertaining guests, you must know how to have very general and concise conversations that don't upset anyone. You could be entertaining politicians and high-profile wealthy people. You have to be informed, but not upsetting to anyone. You need to sound smart, succinct, and general enough to be noncommittal on any issue. "Can I just marry the cashier at a burger place?" Tiffany, who was 14 years old and very overweight, sat looking intimidated. "You can do whatever you want, but my job is to prepare you for a prosperous life because that's what your parents are paying me for. Oh, and tomorrow, everyone needs to wear high heels." Later, we were all given a list of questions and their likely answers to study. We could come up with our own answers or borrow from the manual. We were to practice for the next couple of weeks. The next morning, girls arrived with freshly washed faces, clean fingernails, high heels, and glam makeup. It was runway walking practice. We were to learn to walk like ladies. It was called posture, poise, and position. And we were to practice in the large room where the older girls joined us. When each group was ready, we would have our assessment on the runway. The oldest girl in the group was 25 and named Tennessee after her hometown in Chattanooga. She was engaged to a wealthy Dallas businessman, and he had sent her to JRP so they would not be embarrassed when interfacing with high-level people. Everyone gravitated toward Tennessee. She was short, muscular, and overly suntanned, and did not look like a model and never could. She had a long torso but fixed her hair and makeup to the JRP expectations. She spoke with a raspy voice and was quick to provide words of encouragement to anyone who needed it. Tennessee had taken direction from Vanessa and Morgan and had applied her makeup as best she could and was dressed appropriately with no comb in her back pocket. Her directive from Vanessa and Morgan was that she had to fix her hair so that it no longer had the 70s Farrah Fawcett style. Although she was still short in high heels, she carried herself with confidence. Vanessa and Morgan had us sit in chairs that lined the room while they stood up and walked across the room in their high heels. "What do y'all notice?" they asked, still walking around the room. People shouted out what they noticed. "You're wearing high heels." You're wearing a red dress. You have your eyes looking forward.
Vanessa and Morgan shot each other a hard stare and looked frustrated.
Girls, it's not what we are wearing. Watch our shoulders. Watch our stride. Watch our arms. Watch where we keep our chins.
Everyone watched them as their arms were mild by their side. They seemed to walk a straight line with their back straight and chins positioned slightly up. I thought about all the models I had seen on TV and in music videos. I would walk like them. We were asked to walk around the room, a sea of people walking with their backs straight, feet one in front of the other and chins up. We avoided bumping into each other. A few girls exaggerated their saunter. Finally, it was time to showcase our walks on the runway. As Michael Jackson's PYT song went on, we all began walking. When it was my turn, I wanted to look relevant, so I walked hard and fast with no smile. Morgan and Vanessa waved their arms and shook their heads no.
You need to have a friendly smile. You also need a more feminine walk. Watch Angelique walk.
Angelique was from France and, like others, had flown here to get her charm school etiquette so that she could model and be considered for marrying up. Angelique walked gracefully on the runway. Her tall and slender 22-year-old figure made it look fun and easy. She appeared amused and affectionate as she smiled out at all of us. She spoke English with an accent and was multilingual. Everyone applauded her. This made me more determined not to smile. I got up on the runway again as Vanessa and Morgan signaled me to and walked fast, swinging my arms with a squinty-eyed scowl on my face. I would show them how it was really done. What did they know? I thought I looked relevant and exotic. Morgan and Vanessa shook their heads. Vanessa held on to the pillar in the room and put her forehead against it. Morgan closed her eyes and looked up at the ceiling. Everyone was told to get water and take a break. Tennessee came over to me and put her arm around me. She spoke in her raspy southern drawl.
Now, it's going to be okay. You're still young, so a nice smile would be perfectly appropriate. Your whole face lights up when you smile. Now for the walking part. It's just one foot in front of the other. Just relax and look like you're having fun.
Tennessee modeled the walking part and then came over again and again, put her arm around me. I thought of how lucky her future children will be. They will have a wealthy father and down-to-earth, nurturing mother like Tennessee. For her, I wanted to do this right. I smiled at her a little and then a lot and walked on the runway, practicing. The other girls watched, also smiling. Maybe I did need to soften. I walked with a straight back, one foot in front of the other, chin up, and a friendly smile. I did this over and over. The other girls started clapping in rhythm. By the time Morgan and Vanessa returned, they exchanged happy glances. However, like Whitney with elocution, I had still failed poise and posture for the day. Later, it was time to discuss interviewing etiquette. We were again separated from the older girls. Morgan had us use our manuals and went over the checklist. Everything about you has to be right. You will wear slacks or pantyhose. You will ensure you have no dirt under your fingernails. You will have your makeup complete but demure. You will wear modest jewelry. But the most important thing we will practice is how you will walk into the room. When you have mastered it, your exam will be walking into the office down the hall where Vanessa will be waiting to be your interviewer. She will denote how you enter the room, what you are wearing, and how you present yourselves. Morgan went on to explain that we will walk into the room, smile, greet the interviewer, and then close the door without turning around. We were to practice shutting the door behind our backs. When the interview is over, we are to again avoid turning our backs on the interviewer by walking to the door and facing the interviewer, opening the door behind our backs, and making our exit. Next, there were several door frames brought into the large room outside our class. We had to practice walking through the door and not turning our backs on a classmate who played the interviewer. Some girls would look forward and thank their interviewer, then reach behind them awkwardly and almost fall back or be reaching their arms behind their backs and finding nothing. 14-year-old chubby Tiffany struggled the most as she lacked agility. When it was time for our exam, Tiffany went to enter the office where she would have to close the door behind her back and face Vanessa. She bounced on the door a bit and then onto the wall and almost fell to the floor. She stumbled in front of herself and then put her hands on the wall for a moment to breathe. There was a cream cake in her pocket that fell out. Vanessa stared at her for a moment and shook her head. Tiffany had failed interviewing etiquette. The next day, everyone had to wear what they would wear if they were actually going to a professional interview. The next morning was about making oneself photogenic. Everyone arrived in what they would wear if they were being interviewed but were asked to bring swimsuits. Our ticket to our photo session was proof of sunblock. No sunblock, no pictures. We had taken an oath on the first day of class and had to now repeat it. I, name, do solemnly swear to wear sunblock year-round in my makeup or by itself, wear a hat and sunglasses outdoors. I will not rub or tug on the skin under my eyes because this will create bags. I will not go to bed with makeup on but will scrub and exfoliate my pores nightly. I will change my pillowcase every night so as not to get hair oil in my pores. I promise to keep my face presentable to the world. We again practiced entering Vanessa's office, closing the door behind us, walking toward her desk, smiling and greeting her. While we made eye contact and smiled and answered her questions quickly on the spot, she was also viewing what we wore, our fingernails, our makeup, and our jewelry. Everyone applauded Tiffany, who had practiced the night before with Tennessee. Before we ended that day's lessons, Morgan brought the whole group in a room and reminded us about swimsuit and basic dress. Everything about y'all has to be right. For the swimsuit pictures, all body hair must be shaved. I'm giving y'all a pamphlet on how to shave all delicate areas and each of you a small thing of shave cream. Vanessa came up behind Morgan and put her hands cupped around her mouth like a megaphone and said, "Do y'all hear that all body hair must be shaved?" Many of the girls lived in the dormitories of Southern Methodist University, while some of us lived with a parent or relative who lived in Texas. Since my mom lived nearby, I stayed at home, but sometimes came to the dorms after class. Here I found girls reading the pamphlets on shaving delicate areas and not leaving stubble. The lean toward perfection led to more conversations about the future and the why of JRP. "Do you think Vanessa and Morgan are married to millionaires?" Tiffany asked the group. "They're not actually married at all," Samar shared in a confident voice. This led to the whole room exclaiming as if they had caught them in a lie. "So they haven't even married well themselves? Okay, doesn't that make this whole thing fraudulent?" Tennessee walked in. "Well, you know, y'all, when I was growing up, Mama and I had to live in Granny's house for a while, and we sometimes had the electricity turned off. Daddy died when I was young, and Granddaddy died shortly after, and he left Granny some debts. It's a gamble whether everyone will marry well. But isn't it exciting to think about? I mean, don't y'all want the very best for them? I hope they find happiness and whatever it means for them." Tennessee smiled widely, looking up. This elevated everyone for a moment. "I mean, you could marry a man you deeply love, and he could be keeping you from ever needing to hear that your electricity is turned off. There's no reason you can't have it both ways. Come on, y'all. It's worth a try. This is our best odds training. But no one can predict the future." This led to more conversations on why we were there. Tiffany said her older sister was much prettier than she was and was never criticized by her parents. Samar shared that she planned to be in the future Miss America pageant. Opal's plan was to model and maybe do pageants. Angelique from France was already modeling and wanted to elevate herself to possibly competing in the Miss France and go on to be Miss Universe. But ultimately, she wanted to be on the cover of magazines and perform on TV in some capacity. And so it went. Everyone had a story. I was there simply because my mother thought I needed it. Others said their mothers had also had a similar posture toward expectations of manners and marrying well in the future. Everyone joined in the game of stating what their mothers wanted for them, and some tried it in a haughty British accent. My mother wishes me to be a first lady. My mother wishes me to be a beauty queen. My mother just plain wants me to not embarrass her. My mother wants to see me become Miss America. My mother wishes for a wealthy husband for me so we never have to worry again. The next day was about swimsuits and basic dress attire. We arrived wearing our basic dress that should go from day to evening. In our bags were our swimsuits. We had to model our basic dress on the runway and state, while looking at the audience in an even voice and with poise, why our dresses qualified as basic dresses. Each girl first walked the runway with New Order's Shell Shock playing. Some of the older girls got away with putting their hands on their hips. Vanessa and Morgan clapped their hands together and could be heard coaching over the music. Les saunter, Samar. Opal, nice straight back. Chin up, Tiffany. Face backward. Step back like you're closing the door. Handshake. Eye contact. Look alive. A little more smile, but less teeth. When each girl completed her public speaking about why her dress qualified as a basic dress that could go from day to evening, it was time to get on the bus and go to Arlington, which was 45 minutes from Dallas. We arrived at the water park right near Lavon Creek Lane, where I grew up. We were to have our photo shoots. Everyone piled into a VIP lounge that had lockers and changing areas and was only open to Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, football teams, and corporate events when it had been reserved. Each girl came out in her swimsuit. Angelique's suit showed the size of her cleavage, and her photo shoot was first. The patrons of the water park gathered to watch as she posed on the rock perfectly, as if it all came naturally to her. This led to applause from everyone. Angelique smiled and waved confidently. Each girl took turns on the giant rock, posing, knowing that someone would be chosen as a poster girl for the water park. When it was my turn, I wore a candy cane red and white striped bathing suit and put on a giant pair of red earrings that I was sure went perfectly. Morgan came over and looked at me with large, intentional eyes and said, "Take those earrings off now." After taking the earrings off, the cameraman had a delay and walked away temporarily. So during the wait, I put them back on. Since my mom was nearby, she could be seen speaking to Morgan and Vanessa. They all walked over, and my mom held her hand out, to which I took off the earrings again and handed them to my mother. All three stared hard at me. I proceeded to tell the cameraman which of my profiles was best and that I only wanted photos where I'm facing toward the right. The cameraman ignored me and, along with Morgan and Vanessa, continued to tell me how to stand and pose. At one point, my mom stood on the rock to show me. When it was over, we were given salads and fruit for lunch. The meal was in preparation for the next day that would be health, nutrition, and hygiene, and then a visit from a few of the male graduates of JRP. Since everyone wore sunblock, we were allowed to play in the lazy river. Did y'all see how Vanessa and Morgan didn't bring any money and were basically trying to bum food off the concession stand? Vanessa even asked Angelique for a few dollars. Samar shared while we floated on the tubes in the lazy river. That's low class right there. They thought that because Angelique doesn't speak much English, she won't tell anyone. Aren't they making enough money at JRP to afford their own food? Opal expressed, stretching her legs and checking her sunblock. Everyone wore large brimmed hats. Come on, y'all. People do the best they can, you know. No one is perfect. I heard they both forgot their wallets. Just think the best of them. Maybe they will get rich husbands. Wouldn't that be wonderful for them? Don't y'all want their highest blessing? That's what I want for all of y'all. Tennessee, as usual, was optimistic and made everyone seem more likable than we perceived them to be. Once again, I thought about how lucky her future family was to have her. She still wouldn't say which Dallas zillionaire she was to marry because he was too high profile. Tennessee's swimsuit photo shoot had shown her short legs and overly muscular body, but she was so confident and smiled so wide that it made her photo shoot pleasant and acceptable. There were still an ideal body type that we had to aspire to through our diets and exercise. The week consisted of each girl coming into a private room with a video camera to showcase her talent. It was understood that would only be seen by Morgan and Vanessa. One of the older girls sang Madonna's Physical Attraction. She sang it beautifully. She was told the lyrics were not acceptable. Samar and Opal did a scene from the movie Halloween where one girl pretended to stab the other, screaming and using fake blood. Although their acting was quite passionate, they were told this was not pageant quality. The next day's lessons had Tiffany crying and Tennessee side-hugging her. It was health and nutrition, and Tiffany could not hold in her tears. She shared about being bullied for her weight in school and how her parents said nice things about her older sister, but not Tiffany. The talk about giving up chips, fries, and sugary foods was hard for Tiffany. Vanessa had asked all the girls what they loved more, junk food or being beautiful. Tiffany blurted out, "I'm not beautiful, I've never been beautiful, and I will never be beautiful. So why does it matter if I eat French fries?" This is where the sobbing happened and everyone grew quiet. "You know, Tiffany, you are beautiful exactly the way the Lord made you. Be yourself, but be the healthiest self you can be." Tennessee hugged her while she cried it out. Everyone gave each other sympathetic looks. Tennessee had taken her to the grocery store later that night and taught her how to read labels and what to look for nutritionally and how she might use diet to increase her energy level and decrease acne and uncomfortable body fat. Being that Tiffany was only 14, Tennessee was maternal toward her and wanted to see her pass her classes. That afternoon came the three male guests who were graduates of JRP's Men's Charm School. We lined up in the room, all ages, and were to observe how they entered the room. They each walked in and did not turn their backs on us. Instead, they closed the door behind their backs, made eye contact, and smiled and greeted us with, "Good afternoon, young ladies." Our jobs were to go around the room and articulately introduce ourselves with eye contact, poise, and confidence. When it was Tiffany's turn, she stood up and angrily said, "My name is Tiffany, and otherwise known as Lumpkin, Donut, Luber, or whatever else you can think of. I'm fat and ugly, and you might as well make fun of me now because I know you're going to." The young man, who was about 25, simply leaned forward with a slight smile and a low, masculine voice with a Texas drawl and said, "Super girl, you are brave, beautiful, and outspoken. You should be proud of yourself. Every woman is beautiful. You'll not hear me say anything against you. When JRP gets done with you, then you'll look in the mirror, and loud and proud, you'll know who you are." He finished with a wink and seemed slightly proud of his own manners and voice, as if he had concisely answered one of the current events questions we had to practice for pageants and future events. Tiffany still looked cautious and adrenalized. He dropped his charm school etiquette for a moment and just plain added, "I can't hurt you, girl," with another wink. The other girls blushed and smiled at each other, noticing how handsome and truly charming he was and how impressive his handling of this awkward situation was. The situation was embarrassing, and he had attempted to do damage control. Morgan and Vanessa were quiet in the corner as if they were worn down from the large group of adolescent girls they were trying to mold. One of the other men said they had viewed our videotaped talents and that we should, quote, "keep it classy because men marry classy," and that anything vulgar will not win. There were gasps in the room with all eyes on Vanessa and Morgan since they did not say anyone else would be viewing our video talent. We had been explicitly told that only Vanessa and Morgan would view our talent. We felt betrayed as we heard they had shown them to the male JRP graduates. The men went on to tell how JRP helped them with their interviewing skills, enabled them to get modeling jobs to pay for college, and had groomed them to dine with the Queen of England should they be invited. There was a rumor that one of the young men had come to the dorm that night and spent time with one of the older girls. It was unclear who. The next day, they were all called into the main room to hear about it from Vanessa and Morgan. "We told y'all that all girls become women, but not all women become ladies. Here at JRP, we are in the business of growing ladies, nothing less. If you are not with this vision, then you are below JRP standards. If what we heard is true, and we are checking it out, then someone
may be disqualified from graduating from JRP. The room went silent. The girls, who were local Texans living at home and not in the dorm, were dismissed since they could not have been the whistleblowers or culprits. We practiced our short answer questions and noticed we were getting more succinct with our answers. The questions flowed as fast as the answers. Little by little, the older girls joined us in the room once they were finished being interrogated about the dorm incident with the male graduate. The pageant questions were read in dramatic, animated voices to distinguish from the voices of the girls answering them. If you win this pageant, how will you use your title to benefit others? Why do you deserve this beauty pageant title? Has the speed of advances in science taken away from our emotional connections? How are you a role model for young girls? How has failure helped you in your achievements? If you were granted one wish, what would you wish for? Whitney, what changes do you hope to see in the next generation of women? The room grew silent as everyone wanted to see Whitney pass her elocution exam. Whitney stood with poise, smiling out confidently at everyone. She made perfect eye contact around the room. That's a smart question to ponder, and I would say whatever empowers women in the future, this can mean stopping crimes against women and children by raising awareness and providing safe spaces. Where it's a safe world for women, it's a safe place for everyone. This led to loud applause. Whitney finished with a confident smile and eye contact around the room. She then had tears in her eyes. I never saw that question or the suggested answer. I just went by the seat of my little old pants. I can't believe I did that. Whitney was breathless with excitement. The most important question that was not immediately noticed as such was, when does a girl become a woman? Tennessee made salads for Tiffany and helped her with all parts of the final exams. Tiffany walked confidently on the runway and answered her elocution question in a direct way and to the point. Tiffany, what makes a woman beautiful? Tiffany stood confidently, smiling out at everyone, and spoke with an even voice. The world seems to think that being slender, having symmetrical features, flawless skin, straight teeth, all make a woman beautiful. So many women are buying into this, and it seems that cosmetic industries and plastic surgeons cash in on this. What makes a woman beautiful is knowing who she is, being healthy and strong, and standing in her own truth. That is what makes a woman beautiful. Whitney could be seen looking at Tennessee, as did others. Tennessee did not fit the standard of physical beauty and would, in a few months, marry what Vanessa and Morgan pushed as the ideal husband. Tennessee's strong inner self and application of everything she'd learned in charm school, her kindness toward the other girls, had made her the fruits of JRP. But with or without Tennessee's help, everyone clapped for Tiffany and stood up, since this was her moment. She had passed her elocution exam. We had a final practice at a local skating rink where there were no patrons. Tennessee went around reminding people of what they needed to pass their exams. She practiced walking with them and turned my mouth upwards, reminding me to smile, then checked with Whitney and Tiffany again on elocution, since everyone still had to pass another round. Everyone stayed up late, cutting out dress types for their portfolio called wardrobe notebooks. We had to have examples such as a basic dress, a basic lineless dress, a basic suit, a neckline, a long sleeve, and a knowledge of the color wheel season hues and our face shape. When we had completed our dress rehearsal at the rink, we were ready for our coming out party at the Dallas Mansion, where all our families would be invited. It was rumored that Tom Laundrie and Jimmy Johnson would be present. Some of us never paid attention to see if it was true that they were told to scout for girls who could make appearances at classy events. No one under age 18 was spoken to, so some of us never knew if it was true because we had to wear bright pink bracelets to show that we were under 18. We showed our table manners, walking, speaking, and dressing complete with our clear skin and glamorous makeup. We stood for applause. Mom sipped tea with me and squeezed my wrist with pride.
Class of 1986, Charm School SS-902B, was now released out into the world to impress upon. Later, by the ladies' room, we asked Morgan and Vanessa when they would see themselves getting married. "I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30 or marry one," said Morgan confidently. "But you're 29, Samar said. "Hey, y'all, I still got one more year," Morgan said with a quick, confident wink. We all nodded at her confidence. Vanessa rubbed her eyes, and the bags underneath them could be seen, as could the age spots forming on her arms. Maybe she wasn't 49. Maybe she was 59. As she continued to rub her eyes, we wanted to repeat the oath with her, but we didn't. "You girls are lucky to be graduates of JRP. They should have found me sooner, or things might have been different for me." This made us feel warm toward Vanessa due to her honesty and vulnerability. Some of us would grow up to marry a Silicon Valley millionaire and have the vulgar new money that Vanessa and Morgan warned about. Tiffany would be a middle school music teacher who could play anything on the piano and move her feet quickly. Or would she? She would marry the high school science teacher. Or was that a rumor? Her elocution skills allowed her to explain to wayward middle schoolers why they may want to take the classes seriously. She was also the teacher that the school called upon to chaperone dances, since she would give girls an effective lecture on etiquette toward dating. Tiffany's husband would adore her just the way she is, and she would always be heavy. Or did she divorce him for a much older man who made millions as a heart surgeon from the Northeast? Tiffany could never be ordinary again. Samar and Opal would complete the whole JRP International Modeling course and be roommates. After that, I would not find out what happened to anyone else. In the basement of my home up north, I would find Opal's letter decades later. "I just received the itinerary for the J. Ralph Peters International Modeling and Talent Competition. I wish I could do something about my modeling career right now. Will something come of this competition? What of an acting career for all of us?" I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if you, me, and Samar are all roommates at JRP? Fill out the application and request us. You are just playing yourself, and never let anyone tell you anything else about yourself. I admire that so much. Keep being yourself. Your friend, Opal. Less than 100 years ago, American women could buy a title of nobility by marrying a man who could offer one. This led to baronesses, countesses, and ladies. Somewhere in Dallas in 1986, as Tom Landry clapped his hands and yelled at the Dallas Cowboys to look alive out there and hustle, Morgan and Vanessa also clapped their hands together and reminded us to keep our back straight, walk on a straight line, chin up, and always consider the metamorphosis from girl to lady, the sometimes thin line between social class and no social class was a consideration and a gamble for our future.